204 in the nation's capital, and we are always honored and courtesy of the Rude Guest Hotline to invite Donna Hopkins back on the program, Skelettos and all, because it's that time of the year where the Commanders are front and center, and we have optimism galore, and I don't think it's just hype. First of all, Donna, welcome to the show, and we couldn't afford not to get better, especially from a defensive standpoint last year. This team was void of talent, competitive talent, and I think they closed a lot of gaps. The question is, we can still use some positive surprises.
Oh, most definitely. On the defensive side, Durante Jones comes in here as the new defensive coordinator, and he's bringing his talented coaching resume, but a resume doesn't mean anything if you don't have the horses, as we say, in camp or on this team. And I think that they've done a tremendous job of, you know, giving him some key pieces to move this defensive forward up front. And the thing that impresses me more so about him is what he did in Minnesota with their secondary, one of the best secondaries in the NFL. And he brings that to Washington to clean up an area that definitely needs cleaning up this year. If we think about the bobbles and everything that they had last year in the secondary and the people that they've got in the secondary now, I'm pretty impressed to see how this all pans out. And even more so, Jones with the defense that he's going to play, bring forward this year with this Commanders defense. So I'm excited about that side of the ball to see all the pieces starting to fit together.
And I wonder, is Donna Hopkins, Skelettos on the ground, Tony McGee, Pro Football Plus, been doing this thing for 150 years now, it seems. It's got to be one of the longest running shows. Well, first of all, look at the host, who's almost 105 now and still kicking tail, too. I got to give my boy some love. Tony McGee.
Only one with dark hair still, Rick. Only one with dark hair still on his head.
I know it. I know it. He's amazing. And I know that we were all disappointed last year defensively. We understand injuries. Everybody has them. But we just had we couldn't overcome them. And it hurt our edge production from the end position. I thought that the linebacker position, obviously inside, had to be adjusted, not for what was not getting done. We just got to get faster. I called our defense, told team AARP. They kind of flipped that. But in the back of my mind, I'm always wondering, it's all about the guys that we don't talk a lot about that traditionally here in Washington have come out of the later rounds and become starters or stars. Who might fit that window in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, it's still a lot of unknown about people. I mean, it's early on when I saw some of the unrestricted free agents be signed and kind of like looked at them, still a diamond in the rough, still trying to make their mark here. Once the veterans get back in, you know, next week, we get to see a little bit more, you know, later on in June, we get to see everybody there. So to me, I don't like to talk about it too soon because it's almost like I haven't seen enough. Being honest, Rick, I haven't seen enough of anybody that has said, oh, yeah, you know, I'm impressed by what the little bit I've seen. I haven't seen enough to say this guy is breaking out yet. So you know how people just throw out names? Well, I don't throw out names unless I really see something, and I haven't seen enough yet to assess, you know, any area of this team with the new guys that they signed through free agency. We know some of their resumes with other teams that they played with, but, you know, it's a different ball game when you come with another team. So I haven't seen them yet. I've only talked to them, and, you know, everybody's saying the right thing. And then also the guys that got drafted. Sonny, basically, when I saw him, you can see the speed. You talked about we have to get faster at the linebacker position. Well, I saw that, you know, when in rookie mini camp, I did see that. But I haven't seen enough yet of anybody to say, you know, this team was bad last year, 5 wins. Look, you don't have a lot to assess, just the fact that they were not good. So this year, you got to look at everything. And, Rick, they don't have time to stumble out of the blocks.
Oh, you think that schedule is daunting, to say the very least? you could be out of it in 6 weeks.
Hey, you can be out of it, but you know what? This is a good measure for the Commanders as they start the season, because I hate people saying, oh, we want a cakewalk schedule. Ain't no cakewalk schedule. You're in the NFL. But the Commanders are going to be really tested early because they've got Philadelphia, they got Dallas, two divisional games, then they play the Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks, then they go across the pond to play the Colts in London, and then they've got the Giants. So, like you said, you can be out of this quickly. So you know how they don't play the starters in preseason? Well, this is one year that you may want to think about, plan the starters a little bit more in preseason, and then you got to be able to put this team together quickly on paper and on the field in training camp. So I like the fact that it's a hard schedule because it'll be a telltale of who this team is right out of the gate.
The other thing we have going for ourselves is that when you get that many people trying to prove themselves, the level is high. And you need to be high. Because it's not people going, oh, yeah, I got this. I'm a returning stud. No, nobody, for the most part. So that'll make that it's active. You would like to ask for no more injuries, please. Did we have enough last year? But we can't control that. If you're watching the hoops, and I know you're watching the hoops, what does OKC have? Depth. Well, how do you get depth? You get people that can play. They're better than anticipated. And they get better in practice. And you know why they should? Because look who you're going up against. Do you realize in practice, somebody's having to check their starters? The most valuable player in the league has to get checked in practice.
Hey, that's why these people are good. You're beating up each other in practice because you got the all-star teams right there. You're looking at that. And you said something about practice. It starts there, and when you look at this Commander's offense, Jaden didn't play many games last year. You look at Terry McLaurin, only 38 receptions, 582 yards, just 3 touchdowns, and David Blau said that this year, we want to put the ball in Terry's hands, music to Terry's ears because he wants the ball, and you have to have your leaders to step up. I understand, you know, last year, it's a bobble all the way around with this team, but to get Terry off solid in the beginning because you're going to need that. And the fact that I like that all the receivers got together, went out to L.A. with Jaden Daniels, that's how you start building the bond among players. You don't wait until training camp. You don't wait until OTAs. You put in the time when nobody is looking. You put in the time during the off season where you may not be getting paid or any of those things. This is a time that shows you how serious players are, that they went out there, got together. I know Laramie Tunsil invited all the offensive linemen to work out with him. So that is where it starts, not next week or the week after.
Mr. I don't work out in the off season. He's taking on a leadership role? Holy.
Somebody is misinformed, but he invited Laramie Tunsil, everything that people have been saying, not true. Everybody, those offensive linemen have gotten together with him. He said, the door is open because I put in the work. Terry and all of the receivers, De'Ami Brown, all of those guys went out there with Jaden to get the chemistry early on. Hey, Rick, you well know, chemistry takes time to develop. But when you start early enough,
Can't buy it. It's got to be developed. Listen, and don't forget the kicker, too, because I think this Drew Stevenson is a guy, hopefully, gets an opportunity, we got to shake every room up in the building. You got to shake every room.
And that was one that needed shaking up. Hey, yeah. Hey, Rick, the kicking game is one that needed shaking up because that has been off for the last 3 years or so. So you get this young kid that was not drafted, unrestricted, a free agent. It came in here. I like everything I heard from him in the rookie mini camp. So I like competition. So it's not just bringing the old guys back, but it's putting some sweat underneath them also that, hey, looking over your shoulder or right there on the heel of you is this player right here. So I'm glad that they brought in some competition at the kicking job because you well know that you got to have that right because that could be a win or a loss in the season.
Well, no doubt about it. I would ask you before we depart and Memorial Day weekend, we haven't had any major setbacks. And I'd like to go in reverse getting to camp because we need every able body. What do you feel best about before this thing gets underway? And what's your biggest concern?
I think I'm excited about, you know, the new offensive and defensive coordinator as we start a new page, starting a new chapter with the Commanders. What I'm concerned still about is some areas still that probably need to be addressed that will make this team a lot better now. Like you said, barring any injuries that has not happened, I still think that you still need to get that number two receiver, and Debo Samuel is still out there. So I'm still looking for them to sway him to come back because I think that he's needed on this team. One more piece there and a couple more pieces on the defensive side.
Yeah, I like him. I thought he had a very active season. He had to go alone a lot more than I think he thought he would. But I like Debo.
He had to do a lot
and they're
going to
get Ayut, one of those two guys are going to be here, and they can pick the choice. I don't even care.
I mean, they have to decide on that, but I need to know about somebody that's been in there. Ayuk, I don't know what I haven't seen him in the last couple of years, so I don't know, you know. 2 years is a long time not to have seen a player, and you just can't turn it on and off. Debo, you know he was here last year. They didn't get to use him the way they wanted to because of all the injuries. So if you actually are able to use him, I think he did a tremendous job last year. So imagine if the gates are open where you can really use him, imagine what you're going to get from him. So I like people that are sure money as far as that I've seen as of late.
Yeah, and a point to prove, or most important factor for me, hungry. The man, some of them don't. He don't seem hungry to me. I need somebody that's starving for this. And I think they'll work it out. But I tell you what, it's not my lead concern. Hell, if that's my lead concern, I need my behind whipped. It's my lead is always interior. As long as we got somebody to hike that damn ball and protect the quarterback, that's the start. Everything starts with the biggins up front.
Thank you about mentioning that because the center position is one that's glaring at me too because there's no depth there.
That's one concern.
I'm hoping that they definitely, look at before training camp starts in late July. You got to get another body in here as far as the center position. So those to me, it's about three areas still that I think that they need to address, and they have time enough to do that.
Okay, before we let you go, your favorite dessert for cookout Saturday, Sunday, or Monday, any holiday, what's Hopkins' go-to dessert?
German chocolate cake and banana pudding.
That's two.
Homemade from scratch.
That's two desserts. Wes, did you hear two?
Yes, I did. But those are my two favorite. She's spoiled.
She's used to getting her way. She's used to getting anything she wants whenever she wants it. I specifically said a dessert, and she said two.
Hey, Rick, I'm greedy. You said you got to be hungry.
No, I love it.
You got to be hungry.
I'm just trying to teach Wes the ropes. I want him to see what player really is all about. Thank you. Much respect.
Hey, she's going to get Donna what she Hopkins. Wants.
That's right. No, any smart woman, she first of all, she's a champion. So she's used to getting her way. I said, give me one. She said two. Right off the top. That was a tell
hey,
me. How dare
winners
you?
Winners want it all. Hey,
that's
hey,
right.
Winners want it all.
Hey, I love a greedy person. No question about it. Go, baby, go. It's like Pac-Man. See, we're just trying to teach Wes the ropes. He'll get there. I got a lot of confidence in Clark. He's going to be all right. Donna, that was awesome. Thanks so much.
All right. Always good, Rick. Have a good one.
Thank you. As Coach Thompson would say, she is simply one of the best. To break, we go. We come back, and we put the spotlight back on Wesley. Welcome back. 225 here in the nation's capital. Sports Saturday, Doc Walker. Of course, the pride of Virginia Tech Hokies, Brother Wesley. And you're carving out a niche. I feel bad that you're giving, because you got a lot of attention on the DC Defenders' former champions. And they sure gut tell you right now on the state of the Defenders.
I think they're going to get that last playoff spot next week. They play Orlando. Mm. I know, because they don't have to win necessarily. I mean, we obviously want them to win going into the playoffs. On a three, you don't want to go in the playoffs on a four-game losing streak. But there's some other teams that can lose. I do think they catch that fourth playoff spot and play St. Louis at their place the following week. They've taken a big hit at quarterback. I know we keep mentioning that because it's huge.
Yeah.
Jordan Tomlin was...
Well, that is a big hit.
I mean, he was the MVP of the championship game.
Yeah.
And he
what's
was,
the diagnosis?
It's his knee. There's no specifics. They just said it's a knee injury that has cost him the rest of the season.
Okay. Well, if they do... Well, rest of the season, season's winding down. So is that hope?
No.
That there's a possibility? He's done. Okay,
yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Shannon Harris, during a press conference, he told the media that he was done for the year. So they brought in Spencer Sanders. He's played the last two games. He has zero touchdowns and one interception, 243 yards. It's definitely a hole, Doc. I'm not going to lie. I think Sanders can be good. He great on the ground. He extended plays yesterday, but these throws are not the same as they were when Jordan was getting the ball.
Yeah, nor should we expect him to be. I mean, that's it's brutal, brutal, brutal league, man, when things aren't going your way. And, you know, as we pull for all the home teams, it's just like we were just praising the Nats for, you know, 500 and, you know, showing signs. We're not talking them into it. They're hitting and defending their way into it. And then you get a couple in a row, and that's what you got to stop. You got to stop that momentum swing. And, you know, easier said than done. And you're playing a team like Atlanta that's ascending. So I just like the fact that we're in the fight. It seems like that we're doing some things well. I know how you love the diamond. I wonder, what do you see? How do you see it?
The National specifically?
Yeah. I mean, a whole new operation. It could have gone south. It hasn't.
Here's the thing. It has. I've heard people say the Nationals are ahead of the curve. They're not ahead of the curve because they haven't made the playoffs since they won a championship, and they've had Elijah Green. They've had to send down Dylan Cruz. Robert Hassel is struggling. These are all prospects that were at the top of the list in MLB.com's prospects, and they haven't sniffed the MLB. Brady House was sent back down.
Mm-hmm.
It's the people that the guys in the MLB right now, CJ Abrams, James Wood, they are the ones producing. They've scored the most in the MLB, but they need help. The pitching is the worst in the MLB. They've allowed the most runs.
Starting, relieving, the whole nine yards.
The whole 9 yards.
Whole 9 yards, yeah.
Both the bullpen and the starters have given up the most runs.
How the heck have they been close to 500?
They would be because they've scored the most in the MLB.
Yeah.
Doc, I mean, if there was mediocrity in the bullpen, you could.
Well, the pen early on was atrocious.
I mean.
Okay, that's continued.
Yeah, I mean, they would be 5 games above 500 at least if their pitchers were mediocre. I mean, it's horrible out there when they're on defense. But going back to the prospects, I mean, hopefully Eli Willits is good. I've heard good things about him, a couple other guys. It's just been a disaster on the prospect side in the farm system.
Hmm. It is so amazing that of all the prospects and the system, baseball's intricacy and how it grows its own. It cultivates, and these farm systems and teams and blah 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 blah. And yet sometimes it never works.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
being able to put it all together, and then it does work, and your guy gets Tommy John.
Yep. Exactly.
And so these arms are so valuable.
No, the relievers are. They don't make much at all.
It's just always struck me differently. It's just crazy. Major operation. I think when you think of payrolls, I always think of start with like a basketball team. It could be 18 to 20 players. If you go G League, you stretch it all out. Football, you figure roster, 50, 60, whatever. Baseball and all these different layers. I mean, are we talking 100, 150 players per organization throughout the systems or more?
I mean, they've cut down a little bit on the farm system, but you're talking about rookie ball, you're talking about low A, high A, double A, and triple A. So, yeah, there's a solid amount of players that they invest time and money in that are not reaching their potential.
Got to have medical, got to have trainings, doctors, masseuse. I mean, I'm thinking, maybe I've underestimated how big each operation is by design. And they feed off college, and college is pretty productive. I can't think of anybody I know personally that doesn't watch the College World Series and watch the process. Maybe not every game, but they never miss it all.
Right.
Man, that's a lot of manpower in the baseball, and to get to what the final analysis is and what it comes out to be. And then I think about Mike Trout. Maybe you and I discussed it earlier, Anthony. I couldn't remember, but and the guy, has there ever been anybody that good with that short of postseason heroics?
No. I mean, we talk about guys, they couldn't win a championship. Well, maybe they got there. You know, maybe they went to the playoffs several times and just didn't make it to the championship, but they got to the playoffs. Mike Trout can't even get to the playoffs. He's played one game. That was against the Royals.
I'm saying, being from Orange County where the Angels were, I'm just saying, is he the best player to never hit prime time?
Yes. Yeah.
In any sport?
Yes. I think so.
No, really. I'm not trying to be funny.
I'm not. I'm
just saying it's
serious.
Miserable. As much as we think of the glamour that surrounded being a pro athlete, how miserable might it be to be that good at something and never being able to test your talents at the highest level?
He signed along. He was the first guy that the landscape of Major League Baseball and the contracts changed with him because he had signed that 12, 14-year deal with the Angels for $350 million. everything changed after he signed that. Then followed Harper, and then now we have Otani and Soto making 700. But Mike Trout, he signed with the Angels partially because his mindset was this organization will invest money that at some point we will have a chance. You know, instead of me jumping around and trying to guess who won a championship, he picked the Angels and stuck with them. And they haven't even sniffed the playoffs. Pujols was a disaster. His contract that didn't pay out for the Angels. We had Rendon here in Washington. He was near MVP.
Yeah.
He was terrible when he went over the Angels. Doesn't even like playing baseball. In fact,
he's the most confusing athlete. Not that I really got to know him, that I've been around. I couldn't quite figure out what his passion was.
It's the NBA. Yeah. So, but off of that as well, they had Ohtani. I mean, they had Shohei Ohtani, and the next up, Mike Trout. The next up would have been Rendon. And look what they did. Nothing.
Yeah. Well, no matter how much money you have, the one trap door that no billionaire has ever been able to survive is pro sports.
Look at, you know, Steve Cohen of the Mets. Look at them.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not as bad as the Angels, not even close. At least they got
the World Series. No. And really, it's an insult. It was an insult to include him with this group, the group we've had. And that's why I may have tried to make the point with Anthony. I love it if I would have a chance to negotiate with a billionaire. I would consider I have a terrific advantage. That's why in the case of the Wizards, there's no way in the hell I wouldn't be talking to Utah. Because I know that my chances of winning are so high. Because with most billionaires, they don't ever lose in their mind. They can't lose. He don't process winning and losing the way we do. Because they never lose. Because they can buy their way out, and cover it, whatever. They do not. You imagine, I can't even fake the illustration of doing it. Think about it. Can you imagine going into each negotiation knowing there's no way you can lose?
No, I can't. I mean, obviously.
How do you do it? Well, look at the deals that have been effed up just in our town.
What about this? What about a billionaire going in with deals with other billionaires? You know, you have two guys going at each other saying, I can't lose this deal. Well, someone has to.
Well, but the difference is that the billionaire with the asset always has an advantage. He's just looking to win. Why I suggested that we go into battle, into this negotiation, because you can't lose. He's going to get what he wants, which means I get to get what I want. What I want, he shouldn't surrender, but he can't. He doesn't feel pain. He's going to just do it because he can. He doesn't have to win. He's already won. That's why, look at the worst deals that have happened in this town. Who's been behind them? He did what? He gave the guy a no. He didn't. No, he didn't. Yes, he did. Because to him, he can't lose. And he's not losing. He's never lost.
And there's several examples of that. I mean, you have Strasburg on the baseball side is
money.
Is that perfect?
So if I get a billionaire and I have something he wants, brother, let's go. Let's talk about it. How bad do you want it? Because I'm going to get what I want. And he don't care about it because he never loses in his mind. To me, you are insane not to at least exercise that thought. That's all I'm saying. Not to try it means you don't want to win. I just can't overcome that. Cannot, will not be able to figure that one out. 239 here in the nation's capital, and I can't figure it out any other way. Let's take a quick break. 1-800-636-1067, I promise. that we won't hog the microphone. Back in a moment. Maybe. I don't know why I think, yeah, maybe it still does. Maybe it still makes the grade. I love turkey so much. I don't just eat turkey during. Do you really love turkey or do you just like turkey?
I'm fine with turkey.
So you just like it. You don't love it.
Sure. Yeah, okay. I mean, if it's there, I'll, yeah.
Well, you just explained it. I get it.
Yeah, it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. I was, but that's the thing about food surprises you. Because it'll throw twists. That's why I love doing this time of the year, this Memorial Day, Labor Day, and Thanksgiving, when we talk, really the three times we talk food over the air. Even though food is the thing that unites us, the tailgate, I know Tailgate Ted and the boys are listening. What would a tailgate be without food?
It would be a cocktail party.
Yeah, that's right. It would be one that nobody could walk to even get to their seats. They'd be so wasted. They'd be in the parking lot throwing up all over the place. But it is. But there's protocol. Everybody knows what tailgate food is. And then you have these whatever title we want to give them. I call them majors. They're major holidays. And a major holiday becomes, it attracts specialists. How many people do you know that own their own grill and it travels? Not that you have to know anybody.
Are you saying how many people do I know own grills and they don't
own
use
grills
it?
That travel? Yeah. You don't have to know anybody.
I know some few. Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. No.
But honestly, most of my friends, their dads, you know, they got a charcoal grill. They're really into it.
Yeah.
Kind of like a hobby.
Yeah. We only talk about it three times a year. It dominates the program. Because everybody can get involved in it. It's the one thing that, without picking our favorite teams, we all share a common thread. We don't all like the same things, but we do identify with it. And those are good things. And it's really good because it doesn't really tie into a team per se or a sport. But we all relate to it. Yeah, we all relate to it.
Man,
when you're at a game, what is the one thing you wish you could go to the concession stand and that you could purchase but is not at the arena or the ballpark or the stadium?
I would say the concept of Chipotle. You don't need to put a Chipotle in the stadium, but, you know, kind of.
Well, I'm opening this
like
up.
A bowl.
For our blazing conclusions that will generate participation from the masses. Because now's your chance to speak up if you want to be heard and tell us why, what it would be and why. I don't think that's asking too much. I really don't. And then we'll find out why it's not done. Or we will get somebody to start doing it. Which means we then initiate change. Wesley, wouldn't you like to be known on a certificate, something written, that you were a part of initiating this new change?
Yeah.
And now it introduces something that is a delight to people all over the city. Who knows? All over the country. Even think big, Wes. Maybe all over the world. They're just serving now because you had the gumption to create this topic and then follow through with it. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. That's the challenge. Can't wait. I can't. Now's your chance. You get a chance to talk to stadium managers, people that run the parks, and you want to add an item to the concession stand, something that's a personal favorite of yours, and you think it would be a hit. Let's start out in Falls Church. Pat, you got a good selection, huh?
Hey, how's it going?
Pat, we're doing well because we're talking food.
That's awesome. You know what I would like to see in the ballpark is non-alcoholic beer.
There's no non-alcoholic beer at the parks?
Not that I've been able to find.
Wes?
Yeah, I mean, he's probably right.
I mean, the...
Why wouldn't... I didn't know there, that. I'm not... I mean, if I'm at the park,
the
I'm mostly
Grand
working,
Slam,
so I didn't know that.
Actually, I had my buddy go to the mocktail booth, and he was like, can you please just make one of these without the alcohol in it? And it took that much to get that.
Wow. Well, I'm. You know what? One of the beauties about this format is that we get a chance to throw it out here, and see if we can bring about change. Maybe there are others that would like to have a non-alcoholic option. And because you had the courage to step to the plate, Pat, maybe it gets it going.
I would absolutely love that. All nothing right. favorite, nothing that I like more than going out to the ballpark. But, like, I don't know. I guess I used to like drinking a little more, so I'd like to have a non-alcoholic option.
Amen to that. Well, thanks for playing with us, man. That's good. I didn't think about this gig that is so cool is when you hit a crossroad, you hit something that hadn't happened before. I would have lost the jackpot. If the question had been, is there non-alcoholic beer sold at the ballpark? I would have said yes, and I would have been wrong. All right. And Wesley didn't know that either, and he's a park rat. I mean, he's always at stadiums.
Yeah, I mean, now that I think about it, you know, I don't engage too much at games, but the times I have, I, you know, it's the regular options, you know, Corona,
right.
Heineken. I know Heineken has a zero alcohol, but it's the regular one.
No, but it got, what, about 20,000 grams of sugar in it?
Probably.
Yeah. No, man, that's not good. What I love about this old gig is how you get to learn on the job. Like, we didn't make this up. This is not a bit. I honestly had no idea they did not serve non-alcoholic beer at a ballpark. You know, and now I do know. I wouldn't have known that. Let me ask you another question. Since we're talking about holidays and how we've grown and everybody says some help, when's the last time you had Kool-Aid?
That's a good question. Kool-Aid. Maybe 14, 13 years old.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we used to mix it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so probably, yeah. It's been a while.
It's one of the first things that got you involved in the kitchen that made you feel like you were grown enough or big enough to be involved in something that was required as a function, a daily function, within, you know, serving and eating and doing the whole thing. You got to put sugar in it. No, it's, and again, because these holidays, we get to do this, man. And we're doing it more than it's like you pick your final four in ranking. Memorial Day with Veterans Day, 4th of July, the Turkey Day, what all of these different deals. You tell me, what do you usually eat the most at? And I think people assume it's Thanksgiving. I don't know if it is Thanksgiving. Think about that. Quick break. We'll be right back. Sports Saturday. Oh, my goodness. That Wesley, he's an absolute riot. Oh, man, I feel guilty. We're having so much fun. Who the hell can have this much fun at work? Think about it. I mean, you know, we're blessed. We really are blessed to be here and have a rock and roll good time talking food, man, food and sports, and waiting on the next game of consequence. Really, I'm waiting on the Nationals to beat the Braves, to beat the brakes off the Braves. That would really make my day. Braves have been getting it on the good foot, and we're finding our footing, and we need some arms to keep us in the game, and yet we've done better than most people anticipated we could do. But what does that mean? The Mystics, who I enjoy watching, they're a fun watch. They're athletic. They're young. We can win. I think we're headed in the right direction. So, again, for my whole DMV care package, it's what I call it, all my locals, thumbs up. Thumbs up. Have you checked out the Mystics? I know you've been really busy.
Yeah, a little bit. Detail. I went to school with one of the players, George Amore.
They're nice.
Yeah.
They're nice. And it's promising because they're young and nice. And I don't know any team in the playoffs.
I mean, with the amount of sports that we have, the Caps didn't make it, the Nationals struggling. Wizards didn't make it. Commanders, Defenders are now on a losing streak. Yes, it's tough.
Not good. Not good. And because I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but our jobs are uniquely tied into this. If they're not good, then we don't have good content.
Of course.
Yeah. So they don't have to claim us, but we damn sure got to claim them because we need a good working relationship.
That's why I'm watching every second of the Defenders.
Defenders are easy to watch. It's a good watch. It's good football.
It is.
Now with the injuries, of course, they're not. And you were watching the champion. Oh, wow. That was hard. Yeah. Sorry to have inconvenienced you, making right. You watch the champions.
You know,
I was really excited about them defending that championship.
At home, too.
There you go. There you go. And you were smart because you jumped on it early.
There'll
be a long line of people that would have been waiting on that, trying to jump on it with the championship being in the nation's capital. You know how we are. We'd have jumped on late, but we'd have jumped on. Jumped on. With my age, I've obviously seen 3 or 4 of these attempted leagues fail. This one looks good. I like the twist, the rules, the long kicks, the points. I can buy into that. I think you have to be open to change.
Yeah, I mean, you can't punt if you cross the 50-yard line.
You good with that?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Okay. I want points on the board. I want...
Me too.
I don't want to see a punt after punt and guys just pinning each other. Go for a 4th and 4 or 4th and 5. I want to see it.
Although I have a great deal of respect for punt coverage and punt returns.
Of course. But I was a punter from my high school.
We've had two or three of the best ever. they've come out of these systems here.
They still get a lot of punts off. So
yeah, you're right. You're right. No, I'm not.
A few possessions that get across the 50, and then, you know, they can't kick a field goal, or they're in,
yeah,
and they're rather
it's
punt.
Still it's the oohs and the ahs. But a breaking a run, a great run, is still one of the things that we watch and we wait for. It's beyond a dunk in basketball or slap shot in hockey. It's more like if you think of what made Steph's three so dynamic, Caitlin Clark's, that logo thing, it separates you. It's just not a jump shot. It's something that we kind of get behind. We're kind of mesmerized by it. The long field goal is the Pigskins version of the logo. Man, you're kicking a ball 65 yards, 70 yards in a specific direction between two balls. That's not easy.
And we're getting that here with the defenders, with Matt McCrane. He's kicking yes. 4-point field goals.
Now you go. Now you educate. Look at you now. Now you're showing off again.
I mean, that's why people need to go watch him next week. You might see him in burgundy and gold.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you know, you don't have to sell me again. I'm in. Yeah, I'm in. I as a lad, I had a chance to be the ball boy for the Continental team out in Orange County, California. It was semi-pro ball back in the day, and so I've seen it at that level, guys trying to make it and hustling, and you can get guys and make it all the way to the top out of it. Willie Crittenton was a defensive lineman, really nice guy, and convinced me to. He said the most important thing throughout your education will be not what you put on paper, but that your behind is in the classroom. Never, ever miss class. If you're there, you might accidentally learn something. Imagine telling a kid 13 years old that. I walked away from that. 13, 14 years old from Willie Crittenton. Attendance. And I tried to relay that to some of the young people, and they know who they are. They were out in lot 7 at RFK Stadium. And I met them through that way and gave them the same lesson and did for them what Willie did to me. And I still know two of them. They're around. Grown-ass men now. I met them when they was kids. And what Willie did to me, I did to them. And it worked. It wasn't about what you get. It's the fact that you are in class. The worst thing, worse than a D, was an absentee. If you're there, there's a hell of a good chance you're going to retain some of the information. You can't get nothing if you don't show up. And it's things like that, you know, those are stepping stones, they're stones, they're pebbles, they're whatever you want to say they are, but it matters. That's why I love seeing kids. But we would go to RFK, and there would be all those children in the parking lot. It wasn't adults. As much, they were kids. And they could have probably thrown them all out, but they didn't. So you got a chance to make that interaction, talk. I got to see report cards. I would make these two young men bring me their report cards. And they did. And so I could see them and read them. So that's why, you know, it matters. Interaction, having access. You want to limit somebody? Don't give them access to things that they can learn from. That's torture. It's 3:16 here in the nation's capital. Young Wes, young gladiator, proud of him. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Wes, I'm going to ask you for a victory today in the ATL. You think you're capable of guaranteeing that to me?
Yeah, let's do it next break.
Okay,
next
good deal.
Segment.
That's coming up right next. Stay right here on Sports Saturday. Wes, let me just ask you off the top of my head, the prospect for Hokies football this upcoming collegiate season.
Yeah. What about it?
Oh, cat got your tongue. I asked a question in regarding to...
You said prospects?
The prospects of Hokies football under new regime, new attitude, new players... And I know that you used to be a big fan of college football, and I thought I would ask you a question.
Not used to, still am, obviously. I know you're trying to bust my bubble, but I think the attitude is the same with Virginia Tech fans. And you obviously know that. You covered them, covered Mike Vick. You saw what that stadium can be like. That stadium, even when they had three wins, would still packed Lane Stadium. I was there live every single week. The attitude is the same. The regime is very different, and it is a coaching system that has been successful in the past. So with the fans, with the talent that James Franklin can recruit and the NIL being pushed into the program, I see success here in the near future.
The fan base, listening to Sandman, and even though it translates on TV, you have to be in Lane Stadium to feel it. Like you had to be at RFK to feel it. Once you've experienced both, then you get where I'm coming from. Be generated live.
There's a big difference. I could tell. My first ever game at Virginia Tech was Hokies versus North Carolina. Sam Howell was the starting quarterback.
Yeah, I remember. Lane.
Lane Stadium. Mm-hmm. North Carolina was the 10th ranked team in the country. Mm-hmm. They just had a great year previously. And Virginia Tech beats them. We rushed the field. That was the first time I was in Lane Stadium as a student. Mm-hmm. It only got that feeling only happened a few more times when they almost beat Notre Dame. But other than that, the 4 years I was there, dog, they really struggled with the product on the field.
Well, that's the slick patch you hit. When I was covering the team and Jefferson Pollitt and we were there, it was right before they were breaking ground on the new, and they were dominant. I mean, it was. But then again, Vic, when I say lucky, we was lucky enough to be able to cover Mike Vick. Dude.
Oh, I can only imagine. The recruits that James Franklin has already brought to Blacksburg is better than what I experienced in 4 years. He's done this in six months.
You got the short end of the stick, because I can tell you this, and anybody listening now that was there, I was there at Lane Stadium. When they played in the bowl game in New Orleans, I was there. When they were in West Virginia, Mountaineers and the Hokies, man, that's a flat-out war. The atmosphere at those venues, and it all reminds me, because not everybody has this memory, because very few people ever experience what Bedlam really is all about. They hear about it. They hear people talking about it. But they don't know what it is, what it feels like. A lot of people that call this radio station that are my age and around my, they felt it. Unfortunately, a lot of you youngins just haven't existed. It's not your fault. You did nothing wrong.
Right.
You did nothing wrong, but I'm telling you.
I'll say this. The 4 years I was there, they were ranked once. I was a freshman for a few weeks, and they, you know, ended up going 500. The students still showed up.
You know, oh, no, you're loyal.
The townies still showed up.
Hell, the fans still show up for these guys. But it's just not, it's a different level.
It is.
And then if you don't know what that level feels like, you don't know what you're missing. You don't know. Anybody within that can hear me talk right now knows if they were there at the Mountaineers and the Hokies in West Virginia, if they were there that night, they're trembling. Their hand is trembling right now because they know exactly what I'm talking about. Dude, it was fearful. I was frazzled. What? It's crazy, man. That's what separates the sports for me all the way across the board. You can be national champion, cut down nets. You can do all that you want to do. But when that pigskin's rolling and you got a rumbler and you got a great fan base, you got a stadium, you got everything that's working in sync, there's nothing that can compare to it.
Especially
all the money in the world. Beg your pardon?
Games on campus.
Right.
And I think that the fact that the cultural playoff has now, you know, put campus games within the bracket is huge.
Yeah, you nailed it.
The environment is unreal.
It's a difference.
It's second to no sport.
It's a difference. Nothing. Nothing can touch it. Not that it because the volume of people. You can't put a gymnasium up against a stadium. Yeah. Yeah. You can't take it. It's crazy. I get excited just discussing it because when you try to reenact, and because I covered college football, and college football, the NFL has moments. The college football game coverage of the right games, this could happen anywhere. It could happen anywhere where the people allow it to. Red River, Oklahoma, UT, that's where rivalries in college, to me, are unmatched. If you really want to talk to talk. 3:29 here in the nation's capital. This is Sports Saturday. DOC and the Hokie. Back in a moment. All this talk about food and rivalry football. Is there any better combination? The only thing Memorial Day and this whole celebration of food is lacking is a football game. And I say that unapologetically because of the, you can have some good hoops, baseball, volleyball, you can do all that. But there's nothing like a good old-fashioned rivalry where there's no love loss. And that's why I like the NFC East, because along with being the fact that everybody has a Lombardi, and I know you know that separates them from everybody else. It's a very special place. And the schedules are good. I like the fact that we don't know. I mean, there are the Kevin Sheehans of the world that can predict it, but I can't. I have no idea of telling you who's even going to be on our team in September, let alone the opponents. But here's what I know. 43 people going to show up in pads, and it's going to be a rumbler. And what I also know, just based on the fact of how that draft went, the level of enthusiasm that centered around the burgundy and gold, that we're going to represent. And that all starts, all of them, right? I don't think they've all been together. I think they had the youngins in town, but I don't think the adults have all been together. Correct me if I'm wrong. But once that happens, then it's official. Then it's official. And then we start keeping score. Because you cannot afford, Wes, to get off to a slow start. You have to honor September. With that schedule, you mess around and be decapitated if you don't win September. So what's bigger than the opener? Once we get it established, I love it. I love it. Because now we can talk game. We can talk game planning. That's what these new coordinators represent. We get new, could have a new kicker. Do you know the diff, those three, what those items mean? And you get to go to South Philadelphia. Love it. I love it. Only question is going to be, what kind of force travels? What kind of force that will be with the young fellas? And that's yet to be determined. We got time. We got time on that. I need you to guarantee me a victory on the diamond, Brother Wes. I know you don't like to do that. I don't blame anybody. No intelligent person likes to predict because they know there's no way in the hell they can guarantee it. You know?
Well, here's the thing. Foster Griffin's on the mound for the Washington Nationals. He's had an outstanding year. He has a possibility of representing the Nationals at in the All-Star game, along with Wood and C.J. Abrams. He struggled last time out, but this is the guy, if you want to beat the Braves, you want on the mound.
I want to beat the brakes off of him.
And you got Foster Griffin to do that.
Okay, so our percentages are high. That's all you can ask for. I know you can't guarantee me victory, otherwise you would. I would ask for it. I would ask you to do it, but I don't think you can. But
Jake Irvin is pitching today. Jake Irvin's pitching today, but Foster Griffin will be tomorrow. So those are two guys who can do for the Nationals the next two nights.
Yeah, Jake's due. He owes us. We owe him. We owe each other. I need it. This would be good. It would be refreshing. It's always been it's always fun to take this ride down on the Matterhorn with you, brother. You got enough courage to do it again?
Oh, we're doing it tomorrow. Let's do it.
Well, if you show up,
I'm always here.
Pleased.
We'll share the mic with you.
You know what? I dare you to show up tomorrow on time. I dare you.
I'll see you soon.
And we will do it. It's always fun. Eat up, enjoy it, support the Nats. That would be a good thing. A Curly W. I think we'll be better tomorrow coming off a victory.
Nats, they'll be going up against Grant Holmes. We talked about the high-powered offense with Wood and C.J. Abrams. You know, Wood's leading off today, and they can do this.
Yeah. Hitting the long ball. Just swing with two strikes, big fella. Get it off your shoulders. Some, like myself, feel that this should almost be illegal to have this much fun. And talking ball and being able to pay a bill or two. It's all good. God bless you. Go Curly W's. Spring back victory. I feel much better following wins. I think that translates.